The grace of the Lord be with you this morning. Today is a new day, and today is a different day. I want you to expect difference, expect change, expect shift. Our worship leaders this morning are my daughters, and Courtney said to me this morning, she had the sense that today is a morning, this morning is a morning for miracles, and that we should reach up and pull down a miracle for ourselves. And so I'd like you to just keep that sort of like sitting there with you, and at the right moment, I'd like you to access your miracle, because God has good things for us. It's not, we don't come to his presence to be not changed, not to be changed. We come to his presence to be changed and shifted. So I want to encourage us all to receive today.
Worthy is the Lamb, you are holy. For many, but not me. And I just wanted to. I'm not worthy. And Lee's response was from the Lord, "No, you're not, but I am." And the I am dwells in you and in me, and He is worthy. And when we sing, "You are holy," He is so other, so other than the way we think and the way we view things. He says, "I'm good enough to do what needs doing in you, and I'm there to do it." I just want you to recognize that when we received Jesus, we received the power of healing, power of deliverance, power of salvation, sozo and all that it means. We received that. And then we argue and say, "Yeah, but." The thing that we receive, we argue against. And I'd like us this morning not to argue against what He has given us, but to embrace and say, "Of course, He who has delivered me, He who dwells within me, is all of these things. He's holy, He's other, He's other than the way I think, and I embrace who He is, His healing, His health, His deliverance, His salvation. All that that means I embrace because of who He is."
Thank you.
Read the words. I'd like you to read the words, and we'll go down through the words, and then we'll sing it again. But I want you to read the words. I want you to, and I challenge you. If they aren't true, don't read them. If the words are not true, don't read them. Don't speak them. If they are true, speak them. You ready? How about the first line? Can you buy into that?
I am no victim.
I am who he says I am. You can buy that? He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says. Okay, we'll start there. I am no victim. I live with a vision. I'm covered by the force of love, covered in my Savior's blood. Back to, hold that just a second. I'm covered with the force of love. I'm covered with the Savior's blood. Link those two. Force of love, covered with His blood. Go ahead. Next. I am no orphan. I'm not a poor man. The kingdom's now become my own. And with the King, I have a home. He is my Father. I am no victim. I live with a vision. I'm covered by the force of love, covered in my Savior's blood. He's not just reviving, not simply restoring. Pause there. What God's doing in our lives is not just, well, here, take a deep breath. Now you're on your own again. He's not simply reviving. He's not simply restoring. Go ahead. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have yet to come.
Now I'll go to the next one. There you go. Oh, I'm sorry.
Greater things have yet to come. If His plans are for me are good, if He'll come through like He said He would. Because He's my provision and enough wisdom to usher in my brightest days, to turn my mourning into praise. He's not just reviving, not simply restoring. Greater things have yet to come. Greater things have yet to come. I am who He says I am. He is who He says He is. I'm defined by all His promises, shaped by every word He says.
This morning, just as a, really, just a very few minutes before I was about to head to come over here, the Lord just kind of downloaded a series of statements, and I'd like to just speak them over you. I may do it again in a little bit, but I want you to hear the series of statements as His word over us and what He's calling us to see, think, believe, and be. Okay? So here's the word of the Lord to us this morning. Thus says the Lord, your Creator, I am recreating you. Stop worrying about the process. Stop complaining in the way. Stop vexing yourself because of my timing. Your recreation is underway, and of course it's not comfortable to the parts of you that want to remain the same and hold on to control and comfort. Thus says the Lord, your leader, I am directing you. You're not all aback in the wind. You simply do not understand the dynamics of my transition. But you don't need to understand more at this point. You simply need to remain faithful to me, and I will direct you. I will change you. I will prepare you, and I will relaunch you. Stand. Remain faithful. Be still and know that I am your God. Thus says the Lord, your healer, I am rewiring you. You are in a deep process of change. It's not actually about your circumstances. It's about me changing you. Your deep places are being reprogrammed, and I am the one doing it. Embrace my shift within you. I will be your security during this unstable process, so simply embrace me tightly. Thus says the Lord, your Father, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have deep revelations of love. You are only just barely beginning, you're just barely ready to begin to receive. I have deep revelations of my love that will require yet deeper humility and deeper service, but you are where you are because of my love, and you are going where you're going because of my love. Receive my love. Trust my love. Inhale my love. Do not resist my love. My love is your very life. I am the Lord your God.
I'd like to just speak on that for a moment. We know that God is the creator. I'd like you to know in your heart that he created you, every element of you. You know, we really do think of ourselves as having been the product of Mother Nature, you know, a sperm and an egg got together and then it all happened, it happened. And eventually out comes the baby, it just happened. I want to put that away and recognize it didn't just happen. The creator of all the universe was at work in your mother's womb and he put it together. He created something. Now, when he created you, I want you to just take one next step. He created you for eternity. He created you for eternity.
Amen.
We get all wrapped up in time, in the elements of time, and what's happening in the course of time. But the Creator created you for eternity. And as you began to take part in the life journey, there were two forces at work to designate where you will spend eternity. The force of darkness and the force of light. The force of error and the force of truth. And these two forces began to impact who you are. You were created for eternity. And these two forces are geared to impact your eternity. Are you catching the vision? Yes, the two forces have to do with time and space and now. But they are also focused on eternity. Do you catch that? The forces of darkness aren't there just to mess up the now. The goal is eternal. The force of light, the force of God, is not there just for the now. It's for the eternal. He created you for eternity. And so we have these two forces at work, messing with how we develop. When we are singing this song about I am the Lord your God and the Creator, and I'm at work and I'm doing stuff, that's not a new thing. That has been true since before the egg and the sperm came together. You were created for eternity, and before there was even yet one day, he had a plan for your life. And throughout the days of time, he is at work. And I don't mean to take a lot of time, but I just want to catch this. Much of the time, we don't understand what he's at work doing. We don't understand that there's an eternal God with eternal purposes at work. We can see, I was sleepy when I got up this morning, I couldn't see straight, and I didn't want to get up. We can see the elements of time, but there are these realities where the eternal God is at work in an eternal sense to accomplish his eternal purposes in you.
Lots of times when we even do see the eternal God working, we think that the fixing of our circumstances is his eternal purpose, which isn't. He's got eternal purposes beyond what we even can understand. And his purpose is relational. His purpose is eternal. And yeah, he fixes things. He gives us miracles. But his purpose is beyond the physical manifestation of a miracle. His purpose is eternal.
So there is this work that's underway in each of us this morning. Several of you have, Bonnie, just done with surgery, good riddance surgery. But the eternal God is at work. The healing comes from the eternal God. And his purposes are bigger than just healing your body, although there is that. There is an eternal purpose as well. And so in this moment of healing, embrace the eternal purpose. He says, well, I don't understand. I want you to know the eternal
holiness of God is not particularly understandable by the intellect. He's a little bit, just a hair bigger than our brain is. Would you grant him the possibility that he's bigger than your brain? Don here, much medical, and he's here this morning. The eternal God is at work in Don. In Jesus' name, we just declare the eternal God is at work in Don. For life in time and life in eternity. There's a work that's being accomplished in Don. In Jesus' name, we declare that. And back here, Kim, Jill, you can call her anything you want, but here she is. Also being restored. Go ahead.
I wanted her to share a little bit that's very similar to what you're saying. She's got so much going on.
What you're talking about, she's experiencing again and again and again through the process.
Go ahead, Jill.
As many of you know, I've had surgery June 18th of this year. And although there was no complications, extremely grateful for that, there is a wound that wasn't closing. I'm allergic to any of the medication they can use, so they had to go the route of cauterizing the wound. And it was...
That's a nice, simple word that means they're burning your flesh, okay,
and
while you sit there.
Unfortunately, the stuff they use to numb it doesn't work for me because of the type of wound I have. And last week, they decided to add an element of pouring alcohol over it after they burned it. And extremely painful. However, I was pretty desperate last Sunday and just crying. And to the point, I couldn't reach out to God. I was so alone feeling. And that Monday, I had an appointment with the specialist again, wondering what was going to happen. And on the way to the office, God just simply said, "I'm with you." I went through the cauterization again, the alcohol again. And in the middle of it, I felt the biggest push to tell her thank you, even though I was in some really, really big pain. And after that, the weirdest thing happened. I was driving home, and usually, if you've never been cauterized, and I pray none of you have to ever go through that, it's painful for at least a day or two. Well, less than an hour goes by, and the pain's completely gone. And the next morning, I wake up, no pain. It's actually starting to heal and hold now, and doctors don't really know why. I'm okay with that. They've thrown some new things in there to try to help, but ultimately, the way it's healing, and that Monday of him just simply saying, "I'm with you," didn't need explanation, didn't need to be a big, long speech, got me through it. And afterward, he just proved himself even more and more with my healing. And he's continuously showing me through all of this. I mean, George can tell you, almost daily, he's just been having me prove my faithfulness and my fearless attitude that he's thankfully helped me break through to. So
let me put a little explanation or an exclamation point on that. God has broken through dramatically against fear. And Jill is a different person. Okay, so now she's gone through a surgery, and over the course of several months of surgery prep and whatever, God's been pushing on a fearlessness.
Yes.
And the outcome, yes, is going to be a physical outcome. There's going to be a good physical healing. But the eternal outcome is that a woman of incredible stature and fearlessness has emerged from the process, a daughter of God, with her daddy, has emerged from the process. Is that a fair sentence, fair statement?
Very fair summary.
And this is essential. This is what God's about in the process, in the actual regular and ugly And you know what? Probably stinky. Does it smell bad when they're burning your flesh?
Yeah.
I can only imagine. But that, you probably don't notice that because of the pain. Okay, the reality is, in the process of incredible pain and difficulty, that's the place where God is creating eternal substance that's real, powerful, forward going. Yeah. Anything else from that you want to add to that? Yeah, do it. Go ahead and give us that one, too. Sure.
All right. I've had an interesting week, guys. Sorry. The other day, I saw a rabbit outside my window getting attacked by a neighborhood cat. I got the cat off the rabbit, and the rabbit was just kind of laying in my backyard. And it was about 5 minutes into trying to get the rabbit cared for that I realized we have ground bees in our backyard. Did not know this. I started to back up, like any normal person would do when they see bees. And I heard God tell me, go forward, keep going. All right. So I've trusted him this far, not about to stop. I walk through the bees, and there's quite a number of them, not one sting. And I was able to actually, the rabbit hopped off, but I was able to kind of look at him before he ran away. And I was a little disappointed at the end. I said, you know, God, if you didn't want me to catch the rabbit to help him, why did you have me go through the swarm of bees? And he simply said, it's a testament to your fearlessness and your faithfulness, and I need you to remember this. So it's those little tests along the way that he's been definitely pushing me through, not just medically, but pretty much every aspect of my life.
So let me just say that the bees and the bunny weren't the issue. The circumstances weren't actually it. The fearlessness, the faithfulness, the hearing and the obedience, those were the eternal aspects. It was easy to see the bees. You could hear the bees buzzing. It would be easy to be fearful of them. But the eternal aspect is what Jill takes home with her. And it's a testament, a reality that she owns for all eternity. Not just for the rest of her life, but all eternity of her security against the fear of the enemy in the face of real physical challenges.
So the truth is all of us are being touched by God for eternity. You were created for eternity. He has his eye on eternity. He has a plan for where you're going to be in eternity, and he's at work to accomplish that. And you say, well, I haven't been in the hospital. I haven't been sick. So he is still at work with his eternal purposes in mind to accomplish eternal things in your life. That's the reality. Because you were created for eternity. We have this blip of time that we're in, and we wrap our whole selves up on the blip of time, and God is all wrapped up on the eternal purposes that he has before day one planned for you. And so wherever you are, and whatever the struggle or the adventure is that you're in right now, I would challenge you to just say, God, what are you trying to accomplish in me, and move on with it? And I just want to add a little caveat to that, and that is, do that. And if you don't hear or see or understand what it is, don't think he's not doing anything. I mean, you remember there's two sources, and one of the sources will say, see, nothing's happening, nothing, it's nothing. That's not true. He's not engaged in your life. You're on your own. No, that's a lie. It's simply that you didn't have a collection of that information at this point in time. The work is being done. It's being done in the spiritual level, and our intellect does not always engage with the spirit. Are you with me? We do not always know what's going on in the spirit realm intellectually. And then the aha experience happens, and we think, oh, it just happened at that moment I had the aha experience. Well, no, it's been happening. It's going on. God is doing his thing. And then once in a while, oh, wow, do you know what God just did? Well, he's been working on that for the last X number of days. So this morning,
we acknowledge that we are spiritual creatures created by God, the eternal God, for eternal purposes. The eternal God created me with eternal purposes in mind, and he's at work to accomplish that in me now. Now. And whatever else is going on, the eternal God is at work with eternal purposes, working in me, for me, for eternity.
There's no testimony without a test. There is no testimony without a test. Now, I'm going to give you a little quick background on Jill. Jill's, we're talking about years of pain, and we're talking about months of intense pain, years of fear, real great opportunities for intense fear recently, and God says, this is my time of breakthrough for Jill. And Jill's walking in her breakthrough. Ladies, we'll be back to that song in just a minute, but I'm going to reread, and I want you to receive the word of the Lord to you, remembering that today is a morning. This morning is a morning for miracles, that you should reach up and pull down a miracle. Thus says the Lord your Creator, I am recreating you. Stop worrying about my process. Stop complaining in the way. Stop vexing yourself because of my timing. Your recreation is underway, and of course it's not comfortable to the parts of you that want to remain the same and hold on to control and comfort.
Just one comment. Pay attention. What God is doing in Tom is unique to Tom. And what God is doing in Al or anyone else is unique to them. I just want to challenge you to dare believe that the eternal God has unique and personal things that he's trying to accomplish. Me and me only. And of course I can share what he's done, but that doesn't mean you got to experience the same thing. Because he's a personal God. He's looking to accomplish personal things in each individually, personally, because he has a personal, individual, eternal plan. Do you say amen to that?
Amen.
He has a personal, individual, eternal plan for me.
Amen.
For you. Amen. Sorry to interrupt, but I want you to grab a hold of this personally. Go ahead, George.
Thus says the Lord, your leader, I am directing you. You are not all aback in the wind. You simply do not understand the dynamics of my transition. But you don't need to understand more at this point. You simply need to remain faithful to me, and I will direct you and change you and prepare you and relaunch you. Stand. Remain faithful. Be still and know that I am your God. Thus says the Lord your healer, I am rewiring you. You are in a deep process of change. It's not actually about your circumstances. It's about me changing you. Your deep places are being reprogrammed, and I am the one doing it. Embrace my shift within you. I will be your security during this unstable process, so simply embrace me tightly. Thus says the Lord your Father, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have deep revelations of love that you are only just barely ready to begin to receive. I have deep revelations of my love that will require yet deeper humility and deeper service, but you are where you are because of my love. And you are going where you are going because of my love. Receive my love. Trust my love. Inhale my love. Do not resist my love. My love is your very life. Thus says the Lord your God.
Yeah. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, or I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name.
Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name. Blessed be your glorious name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name.
Just consider those words, light of the world, Jesus, you step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see. That's a good prayer. Open my eyes, let me see. Light of the world, you step down into darkness in a general sense, but in a very personal sense. Specific sense. Open my eyes and let me see. Let's start it again. Just let it be a prayer as we sing the song.
Speaks and
Of announcements that you might be aware of. This coming week is tent meetings. The area churches have put together tent meetings in Newark and available each evening, and you might want to take in one or more of those tent meetings. Also, I have here a clipboard for signing up for lawn care, and there's a 2 or 3 weeks between now and September that need to be covered, and then pretty well covered in September, and maybe one or two that go on to October and November. So those are the announcements that are immediately before us.
A couple other quickies. Want to thank many of you for being faithful to contribute toward the roof fund. We've begun the process of paying monthly, and last month we actually came up a little bit above what we needed for the payment. So I just want to appreciate the faithfulness with which several of you are contributing to that. I also wanted to point out that Dad put into the bulletin an article by Dr. Henry Wright that is interestingly consistent with some of the things that he's been talking to us this morning. So I just want to encourage you to go ahead and read that. And I feel like it's a valuable thing for us. So you can...
Go ahead.
A couple of little vignettes that I wanted to share this morning. The first comes out of Psalm 32, a psalm of David. It's familiar in a couple of different parts. I just wanted to look at the whole picture and draw some things out of it. I consider it a psalm about being real with God. Verse 1 says, "How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man," verse 2, "to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity." And here's a key phrase, "and in whose spirit there is no deceit." You see, often if we hold things in, even sometimes not knowing, there's a discord between our spirit and the Spirit of God. There's a disconnection. There's a deceit. And the encouragement of the psalmist here is to release and be real before God. Be clear. Be consistent before God. When I kept silent about my sin, even just when I kept silent, actually, there's no words there about my sin. When I kept silent, my body raced it away through all my groaning all day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, and my vitality was drained away as with fever, heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you. My iniquity I did not hide. I confessed my transgressions to the Lord. You forgave the guilt of my sin. So the whole context of this is coming into clear alignment, being exposed before the Lord, being transparent before Him. We got it. Coming from multiple languages or directions. Therefore, let everyone who is godly, that word also could be translated faithful, even kind, is in that word. Let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. The point of his thing is to get, and oh, the word pray there is an interesting one. That also has a very broad distribution of interpretations. Pray, intercede, judge, or meditate. All of that whole distribution is within that verb there. So come before the Lord, pray. Come before Him, expose yourself before Him, be transparent before Him in a time when He may be found. Surely in a great flood of waters they will not reach Him. There's the promise that there's a protection. When you expose yourself before the Lord, when you are transparent before Him, there's a protection to be found, a salvation. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with the songs of deliverance. But then you see that his protection is not simply like a defensive protection. He goes on to say, I will instruct you and teach you in the way. This is God's response. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. And then the next verse says, be real before God, even when you don't have to. Do not be as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. In summary, be real. Spend time intentionally being real before the Lord. Let Him, therefore, be your protection, your keeping, your salvation, your guidance, and your truth. So that was number one. I also heard from the Lord out of Isaiah 43 this morning, and I'm just going to read it to you. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and the horse, the army and the mighty man. They will lie down together and not rise again. They've been quenched and extinguished like a wick. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will glorify me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I have given waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. And thus says the Lord to you, his precious and faithful ones. Amen.
Just be aware that there's a passage in Galatians that I felt very significantly as being appropriate for today. Galatians chapter 5, you may recall where the fruit of the Spirit is mentioned and also the works of darkness. But the thing that I wanted to focus on
is verse 7 through 10. Paul is writing to Galatia. It's about 25 or 30 years after the crucifixion of Christ. So it's almost like very soon the church is getting inundated with how to be a Christian from rule of law. And so the Galatians is really a book that is saying to the church, there is a way of living, but it's not according to the rule of law, but the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And there is a passage in verses 7 through 10 that I felt like I should just share as well. Verse 7 says, "You were one running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?" Now, so what is he referring to here? It's not like go to church on Sunday or something like that. He's saying the truth is the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. This is the truth. And he says, now who has interrupted that? Who's hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion did not come from him who calls you. He's saying this idea is not coming from the living God or the Spirit of God. This idea is coming from some other source. That's what he's saying. And then he says, verse 9, "A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view, but the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is." The basic struggle in the book of Galatians is law. Do we have to obey the law to be a Christian, or are we to be led by the Spirit of God? And that was the hassle. And when Paul talks about leaven, he's talking about introducing some elements of the law which will leaven the whole lump. He was saying that you start down that road and there's no end to where it'll take you. I think that's what he was saying. Often when we read this, a little leaven leavens the whole lump, we think of a little sin. Some area of failure will leaven the whole lump. And I said, for sure that's true. But that's not what he's really talking about. He's talking about, where is your focus? Will your focus be on a list of rules? Or lining yourself up with the call of God on your life? That's the essence of what's going on. Then going on, he said, "You were called to freedom, brethren." All right, so now he's beginning to address the issue. "You were called to freedom," and I think he's saying freedom from the rule of law and the consequences of failure. "You were called to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbors yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." The call here is that there's this big debate going on, and the argument and the tearing apart is destroying the body of Christ. And Paul is saying, there is a call to you which has to do with the call of the Spirit, not just a list of rules. And I think that it could even go further than that, and that is to say, what God calls Bob to do may be different than what God calls Joe to do, or Sam. And we shouldn't be measuring one another on the basis of what God has said to Bob or to Joe or to Sam. but on what is it that God has said to you. We like the rule of law. We like to be able to measure and check off the boxes. And so we would like to establish a list of rules or a list of boxes that we can check off and say, how well have I done? And what is being said here is a little bit of that leaven messes with the whole operation. But I say, walk by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, if you walk by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are, and he lists a whole bunch. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. When you cover that list of things, it's pretty extensive, and it isn't even done. It's this kind of thing. He's saying that if you make that your goal, the list will be very long, and you'll find some boxes that you can't check off. But then he goes on, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, so on. Against such things, there is no law. I think that what Paul is trying to say to the church is you can focus on a list of rules, or you can focus on being led by the Spirit of God. If you focus on the list of rules, it is like a little bit of leaven, which will leaven the whole bunch. Here's the problem. Well, actually, it's two problems, but the scribes and Pharisees loved the law, and they had their list of rules, and they thought they were doing pretty well. How could they think they were doing pretty well? Well, it was selective. I went to church, check. I went to synagogue. I pray 3 times a day, check. But was there love and mercy? That box was erased. We didn't look at that. And so when Jesus talked to the scribes and Pharisees, he said, you've done all this, but you've forgotten, you've neglected the greater things, such as mercy, love. And so the problem with a rule book law is that you'll check off the boxes that you're good at and ignore the boxes you're not good at. That's the nature of the natural man. Furthermore, we'll get there, yeah. Or we'll be condemned. And the problem with being condemned, well, it's serious in that it erodes your faith in the mercy of God. When you go to pray, why should he listen to me? Because, and you can list it. And you'll have a friendly enemy who will relist it to you very clearly. Yeah, but you, blah, blah, blah. And you'll be able to see. The enemy always lies, but he tells the truth while he's lying. He said, you cussed yesterday. And you say, I did. And then in that statement is, therefore God will not listen to your prayer. Therefore, God will reject you. Therefore, you have no right to go to God. And so he doesn't say all those words because you'd catch on, but he'd say, you cussed yesterday. And you say, oh. And it erodes your faith. Because you're looking to the law. The law itemized a problem. And your faith is eroded. And when it comes to finding the mercy of God, you have just a little bit less faith to find the mercy of God. That was the problem. What Paul was talking about was that a little bit of leaven, a little bit of that will leaven the whole bunch. But if our focus is to be led by the Spirit of God, hear from Him and pursue Him, grateful for His mercy and His grace, deal with the issues that He puts His finger on. That's life. Generally speaking, we prefer to hear from man. I'm not sure. I can't say that that's true for everybody, but I'm suspicious that maybe it's true of everybody. I'd rather hear from a man, read a book, hear a prophetic word, than to seek God and find out for myself. Is that true? Is that true of you? The tendency to go in that way, just follow it through, is that then you can establish a little box that you can check on. And require the other person or the book or the author or the prophet to do the hearing, and then you just tag along. To be led by the Spirit of God puts you in a place of having to seek God for yourself. Deal with the issues that He puts in front of you. And tune in to hear what He has to say. And draw upon Him for the grace to walk it out. I don't know, maybe I'm putting you to sleep. But it's a very critically important issue. It was way back 2,000 years ago. And it remains to be so now. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, so on. Where do you get that? Is it a rule book? Can you get love out of a rule book? Can you get joy out of the law? I can say, be joyful. But does that make you joyful? I can say, be loving. Does that make you loving? Jesus said, love one another even as I have loved you. Does that make you loving? The whole substance of the Christian faith is that the one who is loving has taken up residence within us. And so we say, love through me. Speak through me. Live through me. And so the focus becomes on a person rather than a law. The focus is constantly coming back to the person. And when we fail, we come back to the person. And when we succeed, we come back to the person. And we celebrate the person. That's the nature of Christianity. Well, I would just say one last thought, and that is that if we purpose to follow Jesus, it becomes necessary to follow how he did what he did more than what he did. How did he love? How did he speak wisdom? How did he heal? How did he raise the dead? It was not a rule book. It was a relationship. And he said, I do nothing except what I see my Father doing it. That's how he did it. I speak not on my own initiative, that's New American Standard, but what I hear that I speak. That would be a refreshing place to live. I imagine you'd have a lot of people mad at you because you'd be quiet. And you'd say, well, I'm listening. And then you would try to say what the Lord gave you to say. In terms of how you live your life. There used to be a thing that was quite common, a bracelet, a necklace or something, that would say, it was the question, what would Jesus do? And I know what he would do. He would say, Father, what are you doing? Every time. And so if we're going to follow Jesus, that's the place to go. What would you do? What would you say? What are you doing here now? And that is the call of God to the church, and it has been for 2,000 years. And the struggle is the same as it has been for 2,000 years. A little bit of leaven leavens the whole lump. In my own life, I find that when I'm doing well, I have more confidence that God will hear my prayer. I can even give you scriptures to make that true. And when I'm not doing well, I don't even want to pray. I don't know if I can give you a confident scripture for that, but I'm just telling you how it is. It's not based, that whole thing is not based on faith in God, it's faith in me. Do you follow what I'm saying? When I'm doing well, then God will hear me. When I'm not doing well, God won't hear me. I regulate God by my feelings or whatever you want to call it. There's a higher calling, and that is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And he embraces us where we are and invites us to let him live his life in us and through us. And that's the nature. That's basic Christianity. And there's not much more to be known. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. We are constantly in need. I want to point one other thing out on this passage. And it's Galatians 5, in case maybe you ought to read it sometime when you got time. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We got that far, but we didn't go on. The flesh, listen, the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Paul is talking to the church. He's saying to the church, there are things that you please that you cannot do. You'd like to do, but you can't. You got to stop doing that. Let me read it to you. He's writing to the church. The flesh sets its desire against the spirit. The flesh isn't arguing against the spirit, and the spirit argues against the flesh. These are in opposition to one another. So that you may not do the things that you please. Verse 18, but if you're led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. Go on. The call, the issue, the essence of Christianity has to do with tuning into the Spirit, walking with Him and in Him. And so again, Lord, we just thank You for the mercy that allows us to come into relationship with You. It allows the huge amount of for You to take up residence within us and in us, participate in the argument between the flesh and the Spirit. We recognize that the flesh argues against the Spirit. The Spirit argues against the flesh. And this morning we tune our hearts and our ears to the Spirit. And we invite Him to lead us into truth. Lead us into truth. May we walk as Jesus walked, tuned and obedient to the Spirit of God. I pray in Jesus' name. And all people say,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. In Jesus' name.